The Spinoff Podcast Network. Ready to rediscover the joys of cycling? With over 300 kilometres of cycle paths across Tāmaki Makaurau, jumping on your bike and going for a ride is such a fun way to discover the city from a different perspective. Cycling is getting more and more popular across Auckland, so now's a great time to join the hype and give cycling a go. Head to at.govt/cycling to find your nearest cycleway today. Skinny are helping you show how smart you are with the 1Q quiz, an all-new, super challenging and super quick daily quiz built by The Spinoff. Every Monday, Skinny are giving you the chance to prove you're smart with the Skinny Extra Credit question. Get it right, and you'll get the chance to score yourself some Skinny Extra mobile credit so you can text, call, or even video call your group chat and gloat about how big your brain is. T's and C's apply. Nair is public interest journalism funded through New Zealand On Air.
Nau mai whakatau, mai he kōna e pūrangi tēnei e pāna ki te ao Māori me te ao hurihuri. Anei a haua Leone Kapia Hayden, this is a podcast about being Māori in the modern world. Mānoa tia a mahuru Māori. Years ago this month, on September 14th, 1972, a petition containing 30,000 signatures was handed to Parliament asking that te reo Māori be taught in schools in Aotearoa. The petition was in the name of Mrs. H.M. Jackson, and it asked, in English and te reo, "We the undersigned do humbly pray that courses in Māori language and aspects of Māori culture be offered in all those schools with large Māori roles, and that these same courses be offered as a gift to the Pākehā from the Māori in all other New Zealand schools as a positive effort to promote a more meaningful concept of integration." The language petition, or Te Pitihana Reo Māori, emerged from the efforts of two university-based groups, Ngā Tamatoa in Tāmaki and the Te Reo Māori Society in Te Whanganui a Tara. Mrs. H.M. Jackson was, of course, Hannah Jackson, also known as Hannah Te Hemara, who was a co-founder of Auckland's Ngā Tamatoa, along with her husband, activist and academic Sid Jackson. Now, Hannah had observed in her life that while Māori were expected to become facsimiles of Pākehā, speak English well and adopt English values and attitudes, they were then told at every turn that they were not welcome because they were Māori. She herself had lost her reo as a result of being punished for speaking it at her Catholic school in Waitara, in Taranaki. There's a wonderful documentary on NZ On Screen. It's a 1972 survey of New Zealand, I suppose, that features an interview with Sid and Hannah where she expresses this paradox of integration, of how New Zealanders are fed this line about how excellent their race relations are, and then she's forced to speak the Queen's English, and then she's shut out of jobs and rental homes for being Māori, and how that then spurred her to turn back to Māori culture and values, and not only that, but to fight for them. Hannah had been forced to drop out of school age 12 to support her whānau, and then worked at the phone exchange while her husband earned his bachelor's and master's in political science. Now, while Sid was the academic who, along with his brother, Moana Jackson, are remembered as intellectual giants, she was also very well known for being sharp and articulate, well organised and completely fearless. In return for her bravery, Hannah faced a lot of backlash in the media, a lot of scrutiny as a wahine, but she did sow the seeds along with her cohorts for what became Māori Language Day, September 14th, later expanded to Te Wiki o Te Reo and now claimed by many as a whole month, Mahuru Māori, or in mine and Miriana's case, the whole bloody year. And of course, from that Māra Kai, where she planted her seed alongside so many others, grew Kohanga Reo, Kura Aho Matua, and new generations of Reo Māori speakers who are no longer punished or ashamed to be called as such. Hannah passed away too young in 1999 and Sid in 2007, but we're incredibly honoured to be joined later in the show by their daughter, Rāmari Jackson Paniora, to remember her parents and the extraordinary community that she grew up in. So stay with us. Whakapiri mai, whakatata mai. Ooh, Hoki mai anō, aha koa te ua, he rangi paki tēnei, nā te mea, he mahuru Māori tēnei. It's Māori Language Month. I am joined by the hoas and the hostess, Mariana Johnson and Te Kurua Te Marama Jews. Tēnā kōrua.
Kia ora.
Tēnā koe, hoia hoa.
Ai, tēnā tātai mahuru Māori.
Ai. Do we even care anymore that there's a Māori Language Month, considering we're just out here devoting our lives to it anyway?
I'm pretty, you know, yeah, I'm stoked. It's just warming up, I think. I'm just warming up. I see a lot of posts coming online, and I just hope that people are, like yourselves, reflecting that in their daily lives and speaking Māori. Yeah.
I'm here for mahuru Māori. I'm less he kaka for te wiki o te reo Māori. I think that's becoming a little bit redundant, and I think what we should be pushing for is te katoa tia, or te marama a mahuru. Yeah.
Ka pai.
Te whakakaha, te reo Māori. Mm. Oku nei whakaaro.
Ai, me ai hoki. I love the idea of trying to challenge myself for the whole month rather than just 7 days. It also means that you get time outside of that 1 week where it sort of gets used as a branding exercise by businesses, which is always nice.
Yeah, I feel like that's what you see a lot of, in Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori, like, it is a lot of businesses and mainstream organisations that are sort of pushing hard in that week. That's why I feel like, mahuru Māori is more Māori.
I continue to be rangirua about that, because I do want all tangata Aotearoa to speak te reo Māori. I do. I know that a lot of my friends disagree with that. I know a lot of Māori disagree with that. And then, as I experienced last week, I went to just like the millionth arts event with none brown people at it and heard my millionth breathy tinakoto. And I was like, you know what, actually gatekeeping is mean. Close the bar. I just go back and forth on that. It feels like once a week.
At what point do we say, well, you don't actually understand the words within your mihi, so you've gone beyond the gesture.
Yeah.
And you've now gone to your third paragraph and none of us here really want you to continue, but we we appreciated the first few bits. So, you know, it's, I think everyone's different as well. Everyone's going to have a different opinion on it.
I get asked a lot, and I'm sure you do too, so tell me what your response is when you get asked this. Someone has to make a speech or open an event, someone who's not a reo speaker, and they come to you and say, I'd like to say a few words in te reo at the beginning of my speech. What advice do you give back to them, Mariana?
Usually just keep it tino poto and I'll just practice. To me, the importance is not how much you say, but what feeling you put behind it and the conviction you have when you say those words. So if you stand up and just say, tēnā koutou katoa, and your pronunciation is on and you mean that mihi, you are really sending a aroha to all those gathered and you're trying to bring them together, then I'm like, tōkē. So I always, and if you know, if you want to go step, this is for people who like have pretty much no deal. If they want to go a step further, mihi atu ki a koutou, and don't try and do a big long kōrero, unless you, tautoko tō kōrero, well, tō kōrua kōrero. If you don't really know what you're saying, you're going to lose people, and you're not bringing the wairua behind the words, you know, and that's te mea nui. You know, that in pronunciation.
Aye.
I'm always a stickler for pronunciation. I know Te Moti Karetu is wete reo first, like he prefers bad pronunciation. He was saying this in a Tell with Moana episode. He's talking about, she asked him what's worse, bad pronunciation or bad grammar? And he said, bad grammar's worse. I'm the opposite. I'm like, if your reo sounds nice to my ears,
interesting.
How o kōrua whakaaro, what do you think is better or worse, bad pronunciation, bad grammar? Rānei.
I think pronunciation comes over time. I would like to, in an ideal world, I would like people to spend the time to learn to pronounce the words as they are learning them. But in reality, I think it takes a number of years, if not decades, to really get your ears in tune with how native speakers use the language.
Right.
And then going further into your own iwi dialect. So, I mean, I wish, like, when I hear people on the news, and it's been happening for a long time, but they're getting better and better. I've got friends coming back from overseas who are like, oh, man, there used to be no reo Māori when I left, and now it's everywhere. And I'm like, yep, well, We've been going pretty hard. So. No yeah. mai hoki mai. Yeah. But if people are wanting to do a mihi, and if there's someone who does a lot of engagement like that, public engagement, then I would hope that they recognise the need for them to apply themselves in a learning environment.
Aye. Yeah, probably not enough to just go to your weekly or monthly business deal lesson, eh? Like, you need to be studying that iwiki. Yeah. But more and more, going back to your kōrero before, Leonie, I'm less keen on investing my energy and helping people who don't have reo, because my energy is best invested in whakapakari tōku reo, me te reo, tōku whānau, kapu hoki. And yeah. I'll leave that to other people who other Pākehā maybe, other tauiwi, or even just other reo Māori speakers who have, you know, reached their matatau, or they're at a different taumata where they're able to maybe give that energy.
Yeah. Actually, I saw an interview that you did once, Te Kuru, where I think you were sort of talking about controversy around the Lord album maybe, and people criticising Hinuihi and Tatimoti, and you were like, until you're a teacher, stay the student. And I really internalised that when you said that, because I was like, people come to you no matter how much zeal you have and ask you for it. And I just remember you saying that, and I was like, you know what, yeah, I'm just going to stay a student. I actually don't owe being a teacher of something that I'm not even matatau in to anybody.
I think we get in a real dangerous area when we all start taking on the responsibility of teaching Māori and non-Māori about reo when we haven't, one, educated ourselves in te reo, and two, haven't learned how to teach te reo, because those are two... You know, those are two very different things.
Does that mean I have to start texting you questions about reo te kore? How do I say this? Is this the right word?
Don't ask me. Yeah. Nah. Ask Kemi Kelly.
One thing I did want to talk about is helping our kai whakarongo, our listeners out there, no matter what level they're at, with some suggestions for things that they can do during Mahuru Māori to help flex those muscles. Hei Tauira, for instance, Mai Tāne, he is not a reo speaker. He's done a couple of years of night classes. So his wero for Mahuru Māori was every morning he has to say something to me in te reo Māori. No matter how short, although it can't be as short as Carl, which is what he's tried to get away with a couple of times this week.
Kia tere.
Kia tū pato.
E Carl, not going to cut it. And then I've heard others who are trying to stay in the reo in meal times or between the hours of 7 and 8 in the morning or something like that. Have you guys got anything like that you want to put out there for our listeners?
He pai era tikanga, and nō te rangi nei I whakatau ai māua ko Niko kia noho rāhui ki te reo Māori, kia au ki te reo Māori ia māua e hikoi ana I te ata, hikoi ana I tātahi. So just this morning, Niko and I decided to make our, every morning we walk our dog, well, every morning she walks the dog, sometimes I join her, out at the beach, and I said, oh, well, let's make these. We did it through lockdown for a period. We made those times reo Māori only times because with all the distractions and non-Māori work that we engage in, it's quite easy to not be into reo Māori, you know, as much as I would like to speak Māori all day. There's no reason why we can't, but, yeah, it depends what the topic is. So that's a time that we've just set aside for this month, and then we'll see how that goes. I recommend that to anyone, yeah, at home. Before the kids go to school, if you can, or for half an hour when you pick them up, or if, depending on what stage of your learning journey that you're on, the goal is to be 24/7.
Right.
Oh, pai te rā rautaki. And just want to like tautoko your kōrero. It's so waiwai when you do a lot of stuff in te reo Engarihi, and I find they're a lot like I was actually just writing a message to my cousin on Facebook the other day, but I was noho tahi ki oku hoa, and my mate was speaking to me in te reo, and I had to say, like, it was like real mama has kōrero, but he had to say it like three times because my brain was like in this message in te reo Pākehā. So yeah, that is a mea waiwa moku hoki e kare, is just the whakawhiti mai te reo ki te reo Pākehā, hoki mai anō. But yeah, in Pānaki, hea mai, hea tōku, kōrero aki aki mō ngā kaiwhakarongo. I always reckon learning some tohu tohu is cool, because it's like a really, you can just put them, you know, bring them into your kōrero gently, you know, waihotia, taihoa, kia tū pato, you know, to your tamariki when they're doing something naughty.
Hoi hoi.
Kia matara. Hoi hoi.
Haere atu. Kutaki waho. Nā.
Tikinga a tēnei mea. Right. Ai.
Mea tia mai just means literally anything you want it to.
I like kati. Kati, we heard that a lot growing up. Kati. Kati tera, which means basically cut it out. Kati tera.
Yeah, and I think that's always a nice, it's a nice easy way if you don't have a lot of reel to just like bring it into your everyday life. And, you know, yeah, they're fun to say as well. Kati. I love saying that.
Whakamutu atu. That's the more sincere way of saying cease. Whakamutu atu. So it's whakamutu atu, two words, but they kind of just flow the mutu into the atu. Whakamutu atu.
Whakamutu atu. Oh, don't we?
That's good.
You know you're in trouble when you hear that one.
See, whenever I go to say kati, my brain goes, kati, 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 kati.
Because
they mean two different things, so I just don't use it. So I feel like whakamutu atu is probably easier for my brain to grasp.
It's a bit stronger. It's if someone's doing something that they really should not be doing.
Ka whai.
Or saying something that's inappropriate, or something, you know.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to use it. Thank you.
It is kāti, eh? Like tohu tō? Kei runga te a?
Kāti. Yeah, kāti tērā. Kāti tērā.
Oh, rawe. What I've been really enjoying as well, because kāri ōku hoa whare, you know, tōku taina, tōku ankara, kāori rawe tai te kōrero Māori. So I do a lot of study at home, trying to like keep the reo alive, kei waho te wānanga. And I've gotten really handy into reading He Iti Te Kupu by Hona Black. Oh, Kupu Whakarite A Tāhua. I love, and now I'm just that guy who's just always using Kupu Whakarite, just testing them out. I'm like, is this the right horopaki? Oh, I'm just going to put a tera, get a gauge over whether like that fits with the horopaki.
Oh, give us some examples.
Oh, I'll give you a funny one, the one that comes to mind straight away. So we all know hangi tarau nera. So I found, well, kei roto te tērā pukapuka, the equivalent for tāne, ure parati, which is basically just...
Mirianei, going right there with the...
Hangi tarau, as I'm sure most of you know, but maybe not, is hangi pants. It's a very schoolyard expression for someone who's a bit hungus. Or
mahi mahi.
Romantic affections, shall we say?
Who's got a lot of game.
Yeah, that's probably a good one.
I know, after
it.
I said like, oh, so many beautiful kupu whakarite, and that was the one that immediately popped into mind.
Kāwhai.
It's just funny.
We are our ancestors' dreams.
You know, mahi mahi e mea te whakakaha te iwi. Kei te pai, he Māori. I really like he tohetaka, which... is a great one for me because it means like a late riser, like someone who sleeps in.
Kapai.
Tohutaka. It's a type of dandelion that only flowers around lunchtime.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, tohutaka. I love it. I'm like, yeah, ko au.
Kapai. Yeah, well, you're hitting the jackpot there, e hoa, because kupu whakarite, all the language experts would say that that's where the gold lies in terms of, you know, if you can incorporate those into... Or kōrero, yara, yara. And that's what makes te reo interesting, and you can start to play with it and, you know, have fun with your friends that way. Because while the reo tohu tohu is great, and growing up, that's probably the primary language used between parents and children, especially if the parents are second language learners, you know, parents at home, they're just always bossing their kids around. But one of the things I try and remind parents, especially young parents or new young Māori couples, is that when your kids get to a certain age, you need to try and move away. Even when they're really young, you need to really develop a language bond with them that's not just tohu tohu. So using kupu whakarite, it can be cheeky, it can be affectionate, it can be educational. So yeah, that's a really good way to expand and stay interested in te reo.
Oh yeah, do you have any favourites, Tukuru? Whangaia tōku hehe mō kupu whakarite.
I do, but I'm actually writing a book now.
Actual?
Yeah, I am sort of. But yeah, anyway, I'll talk about that one maybe in another potty. But one of my favorites off the top of my head is He Honu Manawarahi, which is a honu, which is a turtle with a big heart. He Honu Manawarahi. And it's someone who's, you know, compassionate, understanding.
Oh my God, I love that.
Yeah. I mean, honu are really big within Te Moananui Akiwa.
Right.
And there's probably not enough kōrero, in my opinion, about it within Te Ao Māori, because we don't really have them here.
No, we don't really talk about sea turtles that much, do we? Why is that? They don't really live in Aotearoa.
It's too cold down here.
Oh, ka whai.
But they found them carved on one of the oldest waka that was unearthed in Te Waipounamu. So, you know, it's definitely was a big part, and kianga like that. That's another cool thing about te reo, is you can unearth some whakapapa by finding these sayings. And
I used a lot in a school assignment recently. We had to compose a waiata, and so I did a waiata mihi ki ngā ringawira. And so I really enjoyed discovering all of these kupu whakarite that you can use for ringawira, and there's so many. And also other words for your wharekai and stuff, but it was things like ringaringa or waiwai or rongo, you know, the arms and legs of rongo, who, you know, iai ki etahi rongo is your atua of all the whare on the marae, so your wharekai and your wharenui. So I really like the idea of being like the arms and legs of rongo when you're, you know, doing that mahi for te manaaki people.
Oh, beautiful. He kupu whakarite haukia,
don't we? Aye. We use a lot in class to talk about, I mean, obviously there's heaps, but to talk about people's language prowess, the kaka tarahai, the korokoro tui, a lot of beautiful kupu whakarite connected to manu, which it's always nice to just be reminded of that that connection that our reo has with the manu takitaki o Aotearoa. Like, I love just how deeply intertwined our reo is with the natural world. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Well, our reo came from I whānau mai te reo Māori I te taiao, I konei, ki au nei, I Aotearoa nei. So our reo came from this environment. That's what makes it unique to Aotearoa, and that's what makes it indigenous. The connection between language and the environment, or the disconnect, is one of the major reasons why we're experiencing the climate crisis, because non-indigenous languages don't have the same philosophical, spiritual connection to the natural environment. And that's one of the main things I try and drive home as well. And when we're having reo wānanga and things like that, is it's okay to use all these metaphors, but can we identify the tōtara and the kahikatea and the tūi? Do we know what that manu sounds like when we get up and say, tēnei te tangi a te mā tūi, 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 tūia? Do we know what they sound like, and then could we identify them? So while we are reclaiming our reo, we're also, you know, on their journey, some of us, to reconnect to the taiao.
Yeah, it really makes you realize, like, well, not realize, but really drives home that point, eh, that we need to protect our native rākau, native manu, because without them, like you say, tukuru, we can't really mihi to that reo. They are also our kaitiaki of the reo, right? Because we've drawn our reo from them. Yeah, atahu tō kōrero e kare.
Aye. Now, I did want in this chat, because our guest coming up on the show, we're going to be talking to her about her extraordinary parents, the extraordinary community, where she was raised amongst reo activism and revitalisation. But you can't really have that conversation without also putting te kuru o te marama dues in the hot seat a little bit. So to our listeners, already many of you will know how special te kuru is. He's a raukura of te panikiritanga and author of a master's thesis about intergenerational language transmission, just an overachiever in all areas. But he is, of course, also a Dews, which is a very, very famous surname in reo Māori revitalisation. So, e hoa, on our subject of these pioneering generations, I really would like to talk to you about what has been passed down to you and your family about that time, the time of the petition, and then, of course, the ensuing, the marches and the establishment of the Language Commission and all that sort of thing. So your koro, known to everyone as koro, Dews, was a Vic Uni lecturer at the time of the petition, is that right?
Yeah.
Your auntie Kathy was also part of the Te Reo Māori Society who co-delivered the petition. So what has your family talked to you about that time?
Well, they were both, my dad and Auntie Kathy were both students at Vic Uni at the time and students of my koro. So he kind of oversaw that rōpū. I don't actually, you know, you would have to be there, I think, to understand the dynamics of the student group and the lecturer. But he was definitely instrumental in inspiring a group of, a generational group of people who went through there. And Dad will talk about all the mahi that went on behind the scenes, like the mahi ringawera or getting the kai ready at the marae on the day. All of these other stories. So every year I'll get a different angle, which is cool, paints a wider picture. Because none of it's really been documented or properly published.
Yeah.
But he does talk about going door to door, getting signatures, because back then you couldn't do an online petition.
And so someone had to be out there getting 30,000 signatures. How many people did that take? Do you know?
Oh, this will be part of the book that I write now. I don't know. It's I think it took all of them. I'm not sure, you know, between the rangatahi of Te Whanganui Ātara and Ngāti Toa, I know they were involved, and Ngā Tamatoa and Te Reo Māori Society. I'm not sure how the mahi was dispersed, but I can only imagine that those signatures were gathered over time, 30,000 signatures. So a lot of work went into it. One of the main stories that Dad always told us growing up was, if you look at the photo when they're walking up to Pali, in the front of the rōpū leading them on is a kraua, and his name was Te Owenuku Rene from Ngāti Toa. And his wero, which Tāpiza Sharples has reiterated, and these people who have been involved in language revitalization over the years, every now and then this wero will pop up, and it's actually the name of the Te Reo Māori Society 50-year anniversary this year is Te Wero a Te Owenuku Rene. Some people will call him Koro Joe. So his wero to those who were gathered there on the day was, Kia tai atua au ki te aroaroa te atua, te rape a te atua mai ki au, iahatia e koe tēnei taonga, nā kui hoatu kia koe. So when I pass on and move to the other realm, and I am before the atua, what will I say if the atua asks me, what have you done with this taonga, this gift that I've given to you, being te reo, being the gift? If you think about it like that, then there's a lot of responsibility that comes from it, and it shows heightened level of thinking and how they were treating it. It was very significant time, and it led to some big changes, mainly within education, and allowed kura kaupapa to be established in the later years.
Did you ever get the sense from your koro's generation or your parents' generation that it was a burden for them, or was it something that was sort of just very proudly worn and carried at all times?
No, they just went out and did it, and then they set up kura kaupapa and still doing it. My auntie is still the principal at Te Kura Kaupapa Māori o Ruamata, which we all were fortunate to attend, and that was set up in the late 80s, around the same time as the first Kura Kaupapa Hwani Waititi in Tāmaki Makaurau. So it's just a responsibility, and when you have that sort of purpose of creating not only Māori language communities, but it's just essentially creating or regenerating a whole community and seeing them flourish. Now we're seeing the benefits of these kids who have gone through. I'm talking about the ones who have come through after me, who are excelling in hākinakina and sports and in academia and all these areas, because they've gone through this whole educational kaupapa, but it's really a community.
Aye. And they know who the hell they are in the middle of that community. Yeah.
Mm.
How then have you responded to being part of this legacy? Like, what do you feel like your role is? You've obviously naturally probably been handed this kawinga, you know, mai tō koro, tō whaia, probably didn't have a choice.
Yeah, it's funny. I always, from a young age, I always knew that my path was tied to te reo. I've tried my hand at other things, but it always comes back to underlying message and overarching goal is the longevity of te reo. I think I've always been acutely aware of the dire need for us to breathe life into te reo and to help it survive from a very, very young age because of these stories and, you know, being around my auntie and around my koro and my dad and my mum, who's non-Māori. She played a role. She was a member of Te Reo Māori Society, along with other members, other non-Māori members like the late Anuru Rob. There was a group of people who were just so committed to seeing te reo flourish, and I'm just really grateful for them. And it is a responsibility for me to ensure that it develops, and right now not only develops further, but in a way that their integrity is maintained. That's one of my concerns for the next 50 years. Looking forward, you know, what's the goal for us? Those are the conversations happening now.
You got that long-term vision.
Well, we have to. We have to put some things in place to ensure that it grows tika.
Ka pai hua. Tēnei te mahi nui ki tō whānau.
Ai, whā. I mean, we wouldn't be doing rūmaki reo probably, eh, Leone?
Absolutely. And this is exactly how I feel about this episode, about the reasons for Mahuru Māori. Like, every single one of these people that we're talking about and mihi into is the reason that I'm at rūmaki reo, that you're at rūmaki reo, that my nieces and nephews are at kōhanga reo. Like, the amazing forest that grows from those seeds, you know, that those rangatira sowed for us is, it's really astounding. And I hope that they all know wherever they are that they've done that for us. I really do hope that they know that.
Yeah, the teachers are the MVPs, really.
Teachers.
Can't thank the teachers enough.
Aye, and we need more of them. Thank you, Ehua. I really appreciate you sharing that with us.
Tautoko.
And we're looking forward to the book.
Yeah, I'll be like, damn, I better have nailed it because wasn't ready.
After this, I'm going to be joined by Ramari Jackson Panyora to have a chat about the legacy of her parents and her community. Heia kōnei.
Talo for Lover. I'm Madeline Chapman, editor at The Spinoff. If you have the means, consider supporting our high-quality journalism by becoming a Spinoff member. Sign up now at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
Hoki mai anō, we're so excited to be joined by Ramari Jackson Panyora. He uri o te ate awa, Ngāti Kahungunu, Ngāti Porou me Ngāti Awa. Ramari is a management consultant and the daughter of Hana Tehimara and Sir Jackson. She's also the founder of I Am Hana, more about which later. E hoa, nau mai, haere mai ki nē.
Kia ora.
So we really wanted to hark back to where Māori Language Day, Māori Language Week, and now Māori Language Month actually started. And of course, your folks were right there at the beginning. Your mum's name was right there on the petition that was handed over to Parliament in 1972. Can you tell me a little bit about your memories of being a kid in that extraordinary environment of activists, of Ngā Tamatoa?
Yeah, so in 1972, I was less than 1 year old. But yeah, I did grow up, my brother and I, in a house full of activism, lots of incredible minds coming together to, you know, try and make a real difference. And I think this commemoration is really about honouring the difference that they have made.
You described in a really awesome piece that you put together for E Tangata recently, you described the kitchen table in your home in Avondale being this hub of exciting activity. What was sort of like an average session at the kitchen table there?
I mean, it's hard to describe. There's so much going on. I mean, which pick an era, really? You know, there was so many issues facing Māori at the time. 83 Ash Street was the sort of meeting hub for a lot of those hui to strategize, plan. I can't really pick one thing because it was just the norm. You know, I think one memory I do have which really stands out is I remember helping tape nappies to the arms and legs of my whānau as they were going off to the Springbok tour. And I was a little kid, just sort of helping them all get ready, but there was a lot of people getting ready at the house and really putting protective gear around them because they knew that they were going to be harmed as a result of what they were standing for. So, yeah, there was a lot. That was just a normal day at 83 Street.
You were putting armour on them, yeah?
Well, they were nappies for softness.
Yeah.
And, like, phone books, magazines, you know, whatever could to protect them.
And you also wrote about that resulting in you having a sort of quite a different perspective to other kids at primary school, for instance, being told off for telling kids that the treaty was a fraud.
I mean, you mimic what you hear at home.
Yeah.
But, yes, it was different. I definitely felt different.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was just my life. That was the life of my brother and I and my younger siblings over time.
Just before we get to this incredible project that you have started, can you tell me a little bit about your mother and her upbringing and what some of her motivations for fighting for te reo were?
You know, she, like, you know, the majority of people have had a lot of childhood trauma. She lost her language, she lost her identity, and eventually she lost her ability to be educated. And a large proportion of her motivations was to prevent that from ever happening to somebody else. Mm. That's those foundations of what you stand on when they're all pulled out from underneath you. Aye. Leaves you very vulnerable. And, yeah, she just, that was one of her biggest motivations. She just didn't want people to go through what she went through, the trauma that she went through. And she was one of those people who really did the work to help heal herself. She believed that, you know, we are all responsible, regardless of what happens to us, to do the work to heal ourselves.
Right.
Part of what, well, a large proportion of what she did was, you know, part of that healing process, making sure it never happened to anyone else.
And you, obviously, you have two very gifted parents, and your father, Sid, is remembered as sort of like an intellectual giant alongside your uncle, Moana. What is it that made you really want to base this project around your mum?
Yeah. Actually, I've been asked this a lot.
Aye.
Yes, Dad is well recognised. There is a lot of material about Dad.
Mm.
Like a lot of other men of the movement.
Aye.
But there's a real deficit of the stories of the woman of the movement.
Kia ora.
And that is a really important part of what I'm trying to do here, is to start to trigger more stories about Indigenous women. Mum has a very interesting story. Her journey was not easy. This project is not only about the destination, it's about her journey to get there. And hopefully in some ways it might connect with people who, you know, are going through things and need some inspiration from others, that, you know, you can climb out of hardship and turn things into something quite magical and make a difference in the world. So that's really what we wanted to do. But I am definitely been asked a lot about why not Dad. I'll do Dad next.
Yeah.
But I needed to start with Mum.
Tika.
She was the big catalyst for a lot of stuff. And there's just nothing really about her. If you Google her, there's nothing really around.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's why. And as you would have read, I would just really like to see more recognition of women.
Ka pai.
We, as women, we need sheroes. We need people to look up to that look like us. And there's just not enough of that. So.
Mm. And along with obviously the barbs that they sort of suffered from the media, your mum also came under a special scrutiny because she was a wahinene. Did she sort of get that from Te Ao Pākehā and Te Ao Māori as well?
Yes. I think that saying, your whānau can be harder on you than a stranger, definitely applied. Definitely. And, you know, because where Māori were at that time, you know, people were just working with what they knew. And then there was this incredible movement of people saying, hey, look at this differently. And it took a while for people to get on board, but, you know, eventually they did. But, mum and dad and the movement, they experienced it from both.
Aye. Are there other wahine Māori from the movement that you think deserve more recognition than they got for their contribution?
I believe they all need recognition. All their stories are incredible. Where they are now, they're all in key roles, you know, all around Aotearoa.
Mm.
Yeah, there's not just, I couldn't pick out one or two, really. We're just sparking, you know, interest for people to look more into this group of incredible people, Aotearoa.
Yeah. We had a little chat earlier with our co-host, Te Kuru. He's a Jews, so he's the moko of Koro Jews, the nephew of Kathy Jews, son of Whai Jews, who were all part of the Te Reo Māori Society, the Wellington side of the petition. And he was sort of talking about growing up with that responsibility, not in a way that is a burden, but growing up with a responsibility to carry on the work of his parents and his grandparents' generations. Is that part of how you feel right now, that now that you've sort of put in this wonderful project to honour your mother into the world?
It was never asked of me. My parents were very clear that we had to define our own path, but we learnt a lot. We learnt an incredible amount. When you spend that much time with incredible minds, visionaries, change makers, you know, you absorb their methodologies and how they go about things. And, you know, both my brother and I are in different industries where we apply those things. Some of the things that we learnt is to be really, really comfortable with not being liked. When you have parents that are not liked at all, you get really comfortable with that.
That's an amazing skill.
Yeah, apparently so. We're just very comfortable with it. It's okay, you know. Nobody has to like everybody. It's fine.
Yeah.
So, you know, I work in the strategic space. You know, my brother works in the helping space. We do what we do with all the knowledge and experience and learning that we have. But my brother and I are kind of more on the shy end.
Mm-hmm.
But we both grew up very observational.
Yeah.
So that's one of our strengths as well. You may not hear a lot from us, but we watch, we observe.
Yeah.
And when we're ready to talk, we'll speak.
That's awesome, Ewa.
But we don't fear things. We just don't have fear. We were never taught fear, so we don't have it.
Now, take me through some of the program for I Am Hana. So it's a series of events happening around Taranaki, is that right?
Aye. So the I Am Hana project is really about us sparking interest, as I said, in finding out more about who Mum was and this who Ngā Tamatō was, and hopefully create interest in what people wanting to learn more about another part of our history in Aotearoa.
Mm.
We've got a number of things. We've got, of course, Mr. G. Doing an incredible mural on the Puke Ariki wall. And that's quite a site of significance. And we've We've had the town clock lit up in Mum's colours. We've got an exhibition starting on the 8th of September through till the 14th of September, which is a whole series of photos and paintings and private collection elements from Ngāti Matua and, of course, John Miller's photo collection.
Oh, rawe.
We've got New Plymouth District Council have put on in their library this really cool sort of machine. I don't know what the technical word is, but you can pick it up and you can listen to Mum's voice. And they've got a whole bunch of storytelling going on in there. There's I Am Hana flags down the main road.
Stunning.
Yeah, I think we've got about 16 different elements. We've got a lot of public events, but we also have some private events because we have the majority of Ngāti Matua arriving into Taranaki next week. And so we've got a series of private events for them. So one of the things that we did before we started with Mr. G is we went to Mum's Urupa, we went to Mururau Patu Marae, and then we went up in a helicopter up the Maunga because the Maunga is a very important part of who Mum was. And we landed near Parihaka and we went to Parihaka. And that was sort of the beginning of all of it, as we just wanted to come into it right. What I love about this project is not just who we're doing it for and why we're doing it, but how we've done it. We've had such an incredible collaboration across iwi, hapu, local council, central government, small business, big business, and community and whānau. And that has been, and the people that we've had at our collaboration table have just been extraordinary people. So we set out our kaupapa right at the beginning is to honour her, is to do this her way, which is to make sure that it's supportive. We all grow as a consequence of it, and when we're done, Taranaki is better off as a result of us being here. So making sure that we're upskilling people, so we've got, you know, locals being upskilled on health and safety to support Mr. G. We've got, you know, Mr. G going out to schools to talk to them. We've got all these different people doing things they never ever thought they would do. They're doing them now, and that's really, you know, part of how we wanted to do stuff.
Rawe, rawe rawatu. That is just such a fabulous-sounding program. I'm sure you have had lots of people tell this and that you know this deep down inside, but I'm sure your mum is so incredibly proud of what you have achieved in her name. I'm going to take this opportunity to encourage everyone listening, if you're in or around or near Taranaki, to go and experience some of these exciting opportunities, because it's a kind of a once-in-a-lifetime thing, hey? But although the legacy lives on.
Hopefully it's not once-in-a-lifetime. We want to see more women recognised.
Ka pai, ka pai. Thank you so much for sharing your family with us. And I hope the rest of the month runs really smoothly for you.
Well, maybe you'll be able to make it down.
Aye, ka pai. I'll ask for some time off, ne.
Oh, and don't forget to follow Mr. G and the I Am Hana social media to keep up to date on the different elements going on around the Taranaki region, including the mural.
Oh, ka pai. Good plug there, Ehoa.
Mai rā te mihi ki a koe rāmari, me mihi atu ki o mātua, moe mai rā i ngā rangatira. Anō nei me mihi atu ki a te Aihe Butler, tō mātou kai whakahaere pahorangi, a te kaiurungi o ne, kia ora, taku tūngane. Whai mai i tā tātou,
Paiahua, follow us on Instagram, Net Te Ao Māori Podcast, Whakarongo Mai Runga ia Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. And join us in 2 weeks' time for our full, fingers crossed, Te Reo Māori episode featuring special guests and Mariana and I crapping our pants a little bit. Nō reire, te iwi, kia mau tonu mai ki tā tātou kaupapa ara ko Mahuru Māori. Heia, kua nei.
Nair is public interest journalism funded through New Zealand On Air and brought to you by the Spinoff Podcast Network. It was hosted and researched by Leonie Hayden with Te Kuru Jews and Mariana Johnson. Nair was produced by Te Aihe Butler with senior production from Jane Yee and project management from Mark Kelleher. Kia ora e te iwi, Te Aihe Butler here, podcast manager at the Spinoff. If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spinoff member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate. The Spinoff Podcast Network.